Okay, how's everybody doing tonight? Huh, you guys doing good? All right. You guys ready to study the Bible tonight? I'm really pumped tonight. What I want to do is I want to just kind of walk you through how I study the Bible and kind of walk you through a time of personal devotion and hopefully really help you and equip you in your quiet time with God or your time of personal devotion with God. You know, you might have heard the words or language like self-feeding or quiet time. What all these things are is really about you having a time with God. We call that a time of personal devotion that consists of prayer and Bible reading, where it's not just a one-way communication where you're just talking to God and you're doing, but you're also learning how to listen and to hear the voice of God in your life. And, you know, as we get to the end of the fast and we get in later to this month, and of course we have a big vision night on the first Wednesday in February, you know, we're really pumped about this year. We've had some really incredible staff meetings. And, you know, it happens every year. When we seek God in prayer and fasting, it's like an open heaven comes. And because we're just so set on hearing from God and His direction for our lives and for the church. And so He just speaks all kind of incredible things. And so we're really excited about rolling out our mission, our vision, and our strategy. Write this down, then I'll move on to Bible study. And there's mission, vision, and strategy with a church. First of all, the mission never changes, okay? And our mission as a local church is just like every other local church. We really all have the same mission because that comes from Jesus. It's called the Great Commission, and that's to go into all the world and to make preach the gospel and to make disciples. So that is our mission. Each church kind of says that in a unique way that kind of fits who they are and what resonates with them. So we call that leading people to experience a God-first life. And so in a lot of the language and in the teaching and in my messages, you heard Pastor Wayne. I'm sorry, I got something in my throat. Man, that's, you know, when you're fasting, even like something in your throat tastes a little good. You know, I was like, man, I don't know what that is. It's like a bug. I think a bug got in there. It tastes pretty. But so if you see me kind of up here chewing and, you know, but the mission, so leading people to experience a God-first life. How many of you are familiar with that? And that's our mission, and we're going to get more. That's just kind of the way we word the Great Commission. And then the vision, or our vision here at Celebration Church, this is the way that we carry out that mission. And so you've probably heard us talk about, you know, of partnering in the mission. And if you've been to our membership class lately, and the way that we lead people to experience a God-first life has been weekend services, small groups, serving teams, and outreach. And but this year, in something about the vision, it pretty much stays the same, but it is a little bit more flexible than the mission. And as the church grows, things about the vision can change a little bit. So one of those things that's changing this year is this concept of personal devotion. We feel that that's so important that we need to get it in our vision statement as part of our mission of how we lead people to experience a God-first life. And so you're going to see things that we're rolling out this year and areas that we're cutting back on so we can focus more on this area, and that is this area of personal devotion. So our five streams of how we lead people to experience a God-first life, and there's biblical purposes behind all these, are weekend services, personal devotion that I'll talk to you about tonight, weekend services, personal devotion, small group serving team, and outreaches. And then the third thing, there's mission, there's vision, and then there's strategy. Okay, write down strategy. In strategy, that is the most flexible part of the church. Okay, strategy changes from year to year. Strategy is the following of the cloud. Okay, strategy depends on the culture and the opportunities and the season of the church, the season of the staff, what God has before us. And of course, every year it's so important that we hear from God. We have so many opportunities, and God has blessed our church in so many ways. and you just see favor on all these things. And so one of our biggest challenges is saying no, because you can't say yes to everything. I wish we could say yes to everything, but we have to say yes to the right things and how God has called us as a church and what is our field for that year. The Apostle Paul says that we work our field. We don't step into another person's field. When you get out of your field, you get out of your anointing, of the rhythm that the Holy Spirit has for your life and for your church and for your ministry. When you step out of your field, two things happen. You begin to trespass on someone else's field, and then you begin to leave your field unguarded. And so that's personally, too, finding the rhythm of the Holy Spirit for your season. What worked in one season might not be God's will for this next season. What got you to one place might not be what you need to take you to the next place in your life. Are you feeling me on that? And so we're going to be rolling a lot of these things out as we get to the end of the month, and I'm very excited. I'm very excited about this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14. Let me read something to you. Do you have your handouts? I heard we ran out of handouts. Did most of you get a handout? Raise your hand if you got a handout. Raise your hand if you didn't get a handout. Okay, a lot of you. Those are going to be available. Real sorry we ran out. Those are going to be available. You can pick one up on your way out. There'll be some more there at the exits and at the resource center and probably the information center as well. But where am I? 2 Timothy, right? Well, how did I get over here? Okay. 2 Timothy 3:14. Can I get a chair? Can I get a chair, Jason? Can I get a witness? Ha! Can I get a chair? Just up here. 2 Timothy 3:14. It says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." That's great. That's great. Thanks. "Knowing from who you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." If we do not have the Word of God as a daily active part of our lives, we are not going to be complete, whole human beings, and we are not going to be equipped to be who God's called us to be and do what God has called us to do. Can I have a good amen to that? And so the value of you spending time with God is huge. I want to clear a few things up, because we've had some questions. You know, when we talk about personal devotion, that doesn't mean that you don't read other Christian books and watch Christian TV. I mean, there's so much great stuff out there. I encourage you to read all you can, watch all the Christian TV that you can, as you know, as long as there's not a crazy person on there telling you to do something crazy. Come on, you got a few of them out. You got to love them, but you know, they're out there. But I encourage you to draw from as many sources as possible. But a couple of things you need to know. First of all, your home church, your local church, is where God speaks to you for your life. Okay? This is the place. This is the local church. This is where God grounds you, where you can grow. And it's so important to be planted in the local church and to receive the teaching and preaching that come from that church where God has you planted. And then the second thing here is you having a personal time of prayer and Bible study for yourself, okay? There's no substitute for that, okay? There's great books. I read a bunch. I want you to read a bunch. I'm going to recommend one here in a second that is about personal devotion. I want you to read all the books you can, watch all the Christian videos and preaching on TV and all that you can. Obviously, be faithful to the house of God every single weekend. But a core component to you being who God's called you to be is you learning how to hear from God and study the scriptures for yourself. So if you have your notes there, talking about personal devotion, you'll see in there are many tools and techniques available at your Christian bookstores to aid and enhance your personal Bible study. One such tool is called journaling, and it consists of a systematic daily Bible reading along with writing a journal following the acronym SOAP. Everybody say SOAP. SOAP is easy to remember because we need a washing. We need a good cleansing, am I right? The Bible talks about washing ourselves with the water of the Word. We need to wash our minds. And so this is a great acronym. It was actually come up, I believe, first by Wayne Cordero, and you'll see there, he's a great pastor out in Honolulu, Hawaii. How many of you like to pastor out in Honolulu? I'll pick Jacksonville. I'll pick you guys over Hawaii any day of the week, man. So he's a great, he has some great stuff on personal devotion, you know, which you would figure, because I think personal devotions would be a little bit easier every morning on the beach in Hawaii, don't you? I thought that's a good place to learn how to do them. But there's a great book called Divine Mentor by Wayne Cordero that's available at almost every Christian bookstore. You can order it, Amazon.com. I highly recommend that book. It is a great book. He goes into the SOAP acrostic in detail, a little bit more detail than I'm giving you tonight. But let's go over this, okay? And this is how I study the Bible, okay? This is how I study the Bible. And how I read, how I spend my time with God. And so let's just go over these, and then I'll kind of do a devotion with you here for a few minutes. First of all, what does the S stand for? It stands for Scripture. Scripture. Your personal devotion time starts with Scripture. Take time reading and allow God to speak to you. Highlight, underline, or place a mark in the margin of your Bible next to the scriptures that stand out. When you are done, reread the verses you've marked and look for one that particularly spoke to you that day and write it in your journal, okay? So let me tell you how I do this, okay? Whatever Bible reading plan I'm on, you know, many of us, and you can pick out the bookmarker out there, we're reading through the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs in a year. It's a very manageable reading plan. It's not a lot. Like I said, I believe that the important thing about Bible reading is to at least do a little every day instead of trying to do too much and then you get behind and then you try to catch up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We live busy lives. We're going to do the New Testament, Proverbs, and Psalms this year. Next year, we'll do the Old Testament, so our entire church can read through the whole Bible in 2 years and really spend time studying the Bible. And so, for example, so let's say I'm reading two chapters. Two chapters is my reading for that day. So what I do is I'm going to get my chair, okay? This is cool. I'm just going to show you how I'll do it. In fact, let me just go through this real quick, and then I'll do it. Is that cool? I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay, O is for observation. Everybody say observation. What do you think God is saying to you in this scripture? Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and reveal Jesus to you. Paraphrase and write this scripture down in your own words in your journal. A, application. Everybody say application. Personalize what you have read by asking yourself how it applies to your life right now. Perhaps it is instruction, encouragement, a revelation of a new promise, or corrections for a particular area in your life. Write how this scripture can apply to you today. And the last one is prayer. Everybody say prayer. This can be as simple as asking God to help you use the scripture, or it may be a greater insight on what he may be revealing to you. Remember, prayer is a two-way conversation. Be sure to listen to what God has to say. And this comes into meditation, which I think is very, very powerful. I'll talk about it in just a second. Comes into meditation, which I think is very, very powerful and often not talked about a lot in the body of Christ and when it comes to personal devotions, okay? So watch. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go. You ready? I'm going to show you how I do it. I have a room. First of all, let me talk about time and place. I really believe it's important to establish a time and a place where you meet with God on a regular basis. You might not be able to do it every morning. In fact, this morning I wasn't able to do my devotion in my regular place, But you want that to, you want your regular place to be the norm. Okay, and then there'll always be some mornings or whatever, or some evenings where it doesn't work out or whatever, but you need to establish a time, you need to establish a place. And I really believe this, and I don't think this is spooky, but you should consecrate that place as holy. It's your altar. It is your meeting place with God. That's what the altar right here represents, the meeting place with God. It could be in your car, it could be in your bedroom, it could be in a study. I mean, it's that's the great thing about God. He's omnipresent and He lives inside of you. He's everywhere all the time. But you need to find, I had one friend that he, every lunch, his time and his place was at lunch before he went and picked up his sandwich or whatever he would eat that day for lunch. He had an hour lunch break. He would drive out of the parking lot, and there was this other parking lot by his office that was just a little bit more peaceful, and he'd pull up under this tree, under this tree, and he'd get out his Bible, and would have his quiet time there for about 20 minutes, and that was his place. That was his place that he met with God every day. And then he'd go get his sandwich, and then he'd go back to his office. So you need to establish a time and a place, and always come with a pen and a journal. Always come with something to write with. Always. And that's the powerful thing here as we're talking about journaling, okay? So I have a place where I go. Sometimes I'll change it up. Sometimes things will get stale or things will get different. Or, you know, the kids, if you're like me and you have three kids, somehow the kids, they can invade and take over a space. And so I might fight it for a while, but then I'll just raise the white flag and move to another space if I have to, you know, because they're growing and they change and all that kind of stuff. And So go with me to Luke. Luke, I'm going to take a reading from Luke chapter 3. It was in our Bible reading plan a few days ago, Luke chapter 3. Okay. So I have my journal and I have my pen, and I come into my room. I drink coffee in the morning. Anybody else out there? Who kicked off their fast with bean juice? Coffee is a bean. Yeah. I don't give it up. No, I don't. Here's what I do. You know what I do? Some of our staff, they go cold turkey and they're walking around like Godzilla for a week. I'm like, dude, by the time you're a human being, half the fast is over. No, seriously, let me say this about fasting. If you're fasting one day a week and you drink coffee or things like, it's not worth it. If you were going on a 40-day fast or a 30-day, it would be worth it. You don't want to be a Godzilla or a zombie or something like that for a day. That's not the point, okay? So what I do on my fast, I cut down. Like, I usually drink 5 cups of the coffee a day. Y'all think that's too much? I'm kind of an addict, I guess. It's just how I am. But anyway, so now, just after a few days, I'm down to a cup and a half. Okay, and so I'll end up being down, like, by the end of this week, I'll be down to like one black cup in the morning, and I'll keep it like that for the fast. I won't go cold turkey. So. Did I just free some people up? Are you like, some of you like, that was worth coming to Wednesday night right there. So, remember, the point's to draw near to God, you know. So, for some people, it's easier than others. Okay, so I'll have my coffee, and I think that's a great thing. I think whatever, maybe it's hot tea, whatever your mind connects with comforting and relaxing, I think that's good to associate that with your quiet time and your personal devotion. You know, maybe you do a Danish or a glass of milk or something like that in the morning. That's a good thing, okay? So then what I do, I always start off the day with the Our Father prayer. You know, just kind of a general. I say, God, I come to you, and I just pray that generally. You know, Father, I love you. You're holy. Holy is your name. God, I pray your kingdom come and that your will would be done in and through my life, Carrie, Kaylin Stovey, Annabelle, my family, my relatives, our staff, the church, God, just real, real general. Lord, I pray that you give all of us this day our daily bread. Lord, give us what we need. Lord, help all of us to understand that. Help, and I'm praying to us. I'm not praying to me. I'm praying to us. God, help us to understand that you are all we really need. God, give us your presence and the things that we need to put you first and to honor you. Then I pray, Father, for give us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I think that's a big one. It is a big one. Remember, when you receive Jesus, all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. That's a reminder of where you came from, but you have to set your heart to forgive all the people that did you wrong just 24 hours ago. You know? And you set your heart to forgive, and maybe there's some things God reveals to you there. And then, you know, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray, God, deliver our church from evil. Deliver my family from evil. How many of you know we have an enemy that attacks us? We have an accuser of the brethren. We have someone that wants to slander us, bring lies. He comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. And I'm not a big, you know, focus on Satan all the time. But, you know, Jesus taught us to pray that for a reason. And so I just think it's important that we say, Lord, we receive our covenant of protection. And we know that there's some things that God allows. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I was thinking of Pastor Bernie. Did y'all, Pastor Bernie, you know, he got hit by a car. Last night while he was jogging. Have you ever seen Pastor Bernie jog? He jogs on the road. How many of you have seen Pastor Bernie jog? But Pastor Bernie is like 50. He's still with us a lot in some things. He's not on staff with us anymore. But he's like 50. He's got like chiseled abs like those dudes on the 300. And he jogs around Jacksonville all different times. And I think what happened was someone saw his sick pack and was blinded by the and tried to swerve. No, I'm just kidding. Well, Bernie jogs last night. He got hit by a car, and I was terrified. You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen him out there jogging and on those busy streets. He got hit by a car, and Karen's like, man, Bernie got hit by a car. And we were praying and everything and trying to find out information. And a couple of our pastors went to the hospital this morning. Bernie got hit by a car, threw him 20 feet, and all he has is a bum knee. You know what that is? Watch this. You know what that is? That is, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you know that should have been a lot worse when you get hit by a car and thrown 20 feet and all you have is a messed up knee? That's the protection of God. Okay, and so we need to pray that. So, you know, and then for that is the kingdom, power, and glory. Lord, the chief aim of my life today in the church, let that be to glorify you. God, no matter what goes our way or works out how we want it or what we have to face, we want to glorify it. So I start, that's what I start off with, and then I get into my reading. So what I'll do is I'll read through a couple of chapters. Is everybody at Luke chapter 3? Okay, so whatever the reading is for that day, and of course the New Testament one now, it's just pretty much about one chapter. And so I'll read through that today, but here's what, as I begin to read, I'm just like, God, speak to me today, what I need to hear. And as I begin to read that, it's kind of like, I'll read through that chapter or two or whatever the reading was for that day, and it's like one or two verses will pop out to me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like you're reading scripture, and all of a sudden, you've read it before maybe, but all of a sudden, this thing just kind of hits you. Guess what? That's the voice of God. It's like that's God. He's in it. And so sometimes most of the time it's just one. Sometimes there's two, but it's those one or two things. And so what I'll do is I will circle that. Okay, so I'm reading the scripture. There's the S. Okay, that scripture or two that pops at me. That's okay. God's saying something to me there. I will circle that scripture. Okay. And then after I might have a little bit more reading to go, I'll finish reading, and then I'll go back to that scripture. And that's where kind of my meditation and all those things kind of go. So many times, just like it says in the soap, I'll observe that scripture, But now the application, I'll kind of write down the scripture again, and I'll just write down some thoughts about that scripture. Sometimes it'll be something real simple. Sometimes it'll be a lot. Sometimes from one scripture, it will be something really heavy, something really personal as to what I believe God is speaking to me. Many times it's about my life, obviously. Many times it's about Carrie and the kids. Many times it's about the church. And so I will write those things down. And then that scripture, I'll pray about it. Remember scripture? Observation. Boom. That's the one that's popping. Application. Okay. What is God saying to me about then? I'll write the scripture. I'll jot some things down. I have a ton of notes. I'll go back and I'll look at them. And then I'll pray. And I'll pray that scripture. And I'll pray what God, believe God's speaking to me and how I apply it and how I put it into practice. There's always something to do with the word that God speaks to you. Even if it's an attitude adjustment or a part of your mind that you're not thinking right or whatever it is, there's always something to do. We don't want to be hearers of the word, but we want to be what? Doers of the word. Okay? So imagine you doing that most of the 365 days a year. You doing that and putting yourself in a position to hear from God and to bathe yourself in His Word for 300, 350, maybe you do every one of them almost 365 days a year. Your life will be changed. It will revolutionize your life. I believe in this next season, I believe that this is going to revolutionize our church. You know, our church, we've you know, these first 10 years, we've grown so fast, and we've done a lot. And, you know, we've tried a lot of different things. We have a whole lot of new believers. We've always had people that we need to disciple. And we have a lot of different ways of doing that. We're spread thin in some areas that we kind of need to readjust our energy. But what I personally believe is that you have to come to church on the weekend. That's where you, just like you're coming to church tonight, and so you're hearing the Word of God from your church where you're planted on how to develop a personal relationship with God. You have to be plugged into the house of God to grow and learn and be healthy. Can I have a good amen? And that starts with the weekend. But after the weekend, being connected to the right group of people in a small group or serving team, and then your personal Bible reading, that will do more to grow you than, imagine this, you know, there's a corporate anointing, so it's different, and God speaks to His body and all those things, but just imagine if you only come to church on the weekends, and that is the only Word of God that you hear, and then you go out of church on the weekends, and you are going to hear a thousand messages on everything else, from the news, from your work, from the media, from the radio, on everything else. And 99% of that is void of the Word of God. Do you see? That's why Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, give us this what? Day, our daily bread. Give us this day, our daily bread. It's a daily relationship with Jesus. So here's what I do. So I read that. So let me tell you, like in this passage of Scripture, what jumped out to me, okay? So I'm reading Luke 3, and I'm being sensitive to what verse is going to pop out. All of a sudden, I come down here to chapter 3, verse 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while He prayed, the heaven was opened. That scripture right there, I've read it maybe 1,000, maybe not 1,000. I might have read that scripture seriously maybe 500 times. I mean, I've read that scripture a ton. But somehow, isn't it awesome how the Word of God is eternal? God is infinite. Somehow that scripture, it says, when Jesus was baptized, it says, and while He prayed, the heaven was opened. And I've always kind of thought in my mind how Jesus, you know, okay, he's going to be baptized. It's symbolic of, you know, we symbolize with water baptism by identifying with Christ, our new life. And I've always pictured in the way I've read it in Matthew and Luke and these other gospels that Jesus goes and gets baptized. And just kind of as he's being baptized, the heavens are opened and this incredible thing happens where the Holy Spirit descends in a type of bodily form. And then they audibly hear the voice of God coming out of heaven. That's the next verse. It says, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased. That's how I've always pictured it. But this says it very differently. This says Jesus was baptized, and then it says, and as he prayed, the heavens were opened. Prayer opens the heavens. And I believe what this is talking about, that as with the Holy Spirit coming down and God's voice speaking, as we identify with Christ, what does water baptism represent? Our new life with Christ. Now that you are a child of God, what? You have access to your heavenly Father. But you get that access through prayer. And if you don't pray, the heavens will not be opened. To open the heavens, you have to pray. Jesus prayed and the heavens were opened. And what I believe happens every single time we pray as a child of God, guess what? We can't see it. I believe God gave us this to see a manifestation of what that would kind of look like. We can't see that. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of us. But every time we pray, the heavens are open. And guess what? The Holy Spirit descends on us or wells up on the inside of us. Every time we pray, the heavens are open. And two things happen when the heavens are open. We experience the Holy Spirit. And we hear the voice of God. In other words, every time we pray, God begins to speak. The issue is not God speaking. The issue is, are we hearing? Prayer opens the heavens. And so that was God's word to me that day. I mean, it like shot my faith up to pray. Just like, come on, how many of you are ready to pray right now? It just like, when I just thought of what prayer opens the heavens, it was a fresh revelation to me in Jesus's baptism, how when we pray, the heavens are open. Every time you pray as a child of God, the heavens are open. You can experience the Holy Spirit and God begins to speak. So that's what, on that day, that was my observation. So then I took that scripture, I wrote it down, just some different ways to kind of apply that. Some of the things I shared with you were some of the things that I thought about, and then I prayed about that. And of course, my personal application was, man, it was like, man, I'm going to pray more. Just that fresh revelation that every time I pray as a child of God, the heavens are open. Not because of me, but guess who? Because of Jesus. So that's what water baptism, we identify with him. Because of Jesus, every time you pray, the heavens are open. You can experience the Holy Spirit and you can hear the voice of God. If you're listening, amen. So I pray about that, and then it might lead into some other prayers and some other thoughts and things like that, and then that's it. My personal devotion time it's usually about an hour. Some people's is 20 minutes. Your schedule is different from mine. You just need to find a time that works for you. Can I tell you this? 10 minutes is a great starting place. 15 minutes is a great starting place. I think if you could get it to half an hour, I think that's perfect. Some people will say 40 minutes. I think if you can get it to half an hour, that is perfect. I think having a worship CD in the background also helps, especially if you have noise going on around you. I think a worship CD can be very, very powerful, and it can really help you. So here's the thing about personal devotion time. Okay, we'll wrap up right now and we'll pray. Here's the thing. Get a place, a time, a place. Get the right tools. What are your tools? A journal or a notebook, a pen, a worship CD, a Bible? Yes. A Bible would help. Okay. Bob, and there's so many other good commentaries and books and Bible helps like that, but you have to have a Bible, your journal, a pen. I think a worship CD or your iPod or whatever that is great. A time and a place. Then you get in it and just think, soap. I'm going to read scripture. Here's my Bible reading for the. I'm going to open in prayer. I'm going to read my scripture. I'm going to observe. What is that one verse? Maybe two. It's usually just one, sometimes two. What are those one or two verses that pop? That's God speaking to me. Now I'm going to tape that. How do I apply them? God, what are you showing? What are you encouraging me about? What are you correcting me on? And then I'm going to take that and I'll make that a matter of prayer. Amen? Amen. All right. How many of you are participating, or maybe tonight you decided to participate, in the one-year Bible reading? You have your bookmark. Let me see your number of hands. That's awesome. That's awesome. I really encourage you to do that. You might have your own Bible reading plan. There's just a ton of great Bible reading plans, one-year Bible, all out, all those things like that. But let's make personal devotion a high value in our lives. It's crucial for you to be complete and for you to be equipped to be who God's called you to be and to do what God's called you to do. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and